unto me.
This year with another faith teaching, because that's what we've been having over the last few weeks, and the Lord knows why. And I have a title for our teaching this morning: Faith Must Be Sincere. Faith Must Be Sincere. And I'm basing this teaching this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. That's the verse I'm honing in. I shall use a few other verses, but we're really looking first at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, which says, "Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith." So we clearly see that faith also requires and needs a pure heart. It works by love. It works from a good conscience, and so on. So we are learning, aren't we, over the years with our walk of faith, that faith indeed has to have much added to it. And that, of course, is really nothing new, but we need to be reminded that it's not just simply believing. But with our believing, our simple childlike faith, there must be added to it this pure heart, a good conscience. As the title says, faith must be sincere. And we also need to see in the context of what is being written here in Timothy. And for example, if we look from verses 3 to 8, we can begin to ascertain why Paul is writing to Timothy with regard to this. Because he says in verse 3 onwards, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So he's dealing with doctrine. He's dealing with the purity of God's word. Because if the word of God is tainted or changed, or indeed it is not taught from a sincere and a pure heart, then you cannot have faith, because we're told that faith comes by hearing the word of God. So the word of God has to be anointed. It has to be, in other words, accepted, approved. It has to come to the standard that the Holy Spirit requires in order for us to be taught by it and to live by it. So this is what he's dealing with, Paul, here. And he goes on, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification is in faith. So he's also dealing with how they like to debate and argue about the word of God and about genealogies as well. Of course, that's dealing with Jews and everything. There's all these disputes going on. Ungodly edification. Does that not sound familiar? Does it not sound like what goes on today, sadly, amongst Christendom? And he goes on, now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. So because they have not maintained a pure heart, a good conscience, a sincere faith, they have strayed. They've turned aside, and they take on idle, stupid, idle talk, ridiculous things they start to put their ears to with regard to the word of God or teaching and so on, desiring to be teachers of the law. So he's not only referring to the circumcised or those in the church, but he's also talking about those who are in word ministries, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. So in other words, they have a lot of hot air and they don't really understand what they're talking about. They have little experience. They don't know the message of faith. The reason they don't know, because verse 5 tells us, they don't have a pure heart. They don't have a good conscience. They're not sincere. They're not honest. So the things that they talk about, they don't understand. It's simply just a lot of hot air. But we know, verse 8, that the law is good if one uses it lawfully in that sense. And we know that the law brought us to faith. And faith brings us to mercy and grace and forgiveness. So that is why we're talking about faith must be sincere. You see, our whole faith and belief must come from a right heart and attitude. It's never going to be blessed, our faith, if it comes from hypocrisy. And each of us, we have to be on our guard with regard to hypocrisy. Sometimes we're blinded to our hypocrisy until the mercy and grace of God opens our eyes to it, or what we're doing, or what we're saying. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul ends with his blessing in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 24. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, in honesty. So again, this is a big area that we constantly need to be on our guard in this walk, in this life. If we're going to walk by faith, if we want our prayers to be answered. You see, many have jumped on the bandwagon with regard to faith and believe that just believing your prayers will get answered and all my needs will be met. It's far, far, far deeper than that. Our faith must be motivated from a pure heart. We're sincere. We're honest before God. And that honesty may require and need to be said that I'm not yet as I should be in that place of faith. But the Lord is merciful over me and he's working with me and he doesn't give up. Wish to God we could hear more believers who are honest like this. Instead of coming over as these spiritual hotshots and then they get all upset and offended why it didn't work or why God didn't answer their prayer and so on. It doesn't take long, brothers and sisters, if we walk humbly before the Lord, where we find at times we have missed it. And yet our Heavenly Father is in all of that restoring us back so that the next time we meet that same trial or test, we overcome it and we give God all the glory. So that is where we're coming from. And that is why we're to love the Lord in sincerity. We're to love him in honesty. We're to love him in integrity, in genuineness, in candor. These are all powerful words describing what our faith must be, sincere before the Lord. We also know that faith is also faithfulness. And to be faithful, it is required that you are sincere and honest. You see, God always reveals himself as the faithful one. He's faithful in nature. He doesn't try to be faithful. He is, and always has been, and always will be. We know this from Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. You know these words well because we sing them in song. Lamentations 3, 22 to 24. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because he has compassions, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. You know, chapter 3 is a very encouraging chapter in Lamentations because the prophet is lamenting. And it can sound very morbid, very heartbreaking. And yet we find in this lamentation, in chapter 3, some of the most encouraging things about the nature of Almighty God. We also are reminded in the Minor Prophets, the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Here is what he says about the proud. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith, or his faithfulness. So the proud do not understand the faithfulness, the love and mercy of God. And that is why those who are proud their faith doesn't really work. They don't understand that faith works by love, that faith must be sincere. They don't understand because they're proud, they're lifted up, they're haughty. But he says, the just who are justified, who have been made right in the presence of Almighty God, they live by God's faith, God's faithfulness. That is what anchors us. That is what causes us to continue in this walk. That is what helps us when we fall down and he lifts us up. But that doesn't happen to the proud. The proud cover it up. The proud justify. The proud are religious. They have a religious understanding and mindset of God because they don't understand the mercy of God. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So we are finding that to walk humbly before God is absolutely essential for us who walk by faith. Because this faith, God's faith, God's faithfulness in us, which he has placed in us, is going to bring us through all our trials, our temptations, our testings. It's absolutely paramount. Because we know that things are getting harder and harder for us. We know that in many ways, as the world is going in the course that it is, we're being squeezed out. We're being separated out. We're finding more and more that we can't be involved or get involved in what is happening now in this world. And so it is absolutely important that we know that our faith is working. Our faith is anchoring us. That God is honoring this faith. And this is why it is important that we keep close accounts. This is why we need to inquire of God, Lord, if there is any pride or independence of spirit within me, please deal with it. Please purge it, cleanse it. We have to take our faith walk very, very seriously. And these scriptures tell us this. You see, this type of faith doesn't give up what we're talking about here because it's God's faithfulness. He is faithful. Therefore, our faith, our general belief, doesn't give up because it's motivated by God's love. It's motivated by sincerity, by humility. And when faith is fed that way, encouraged that way, when your trials and your tests come along, you will find that you won't give up. And that is what's so wonderful about this. I said years back that faith is an anchoring. It is our spiritual anchor in this life. And we need to know that that anchor is firm in the depth of the sea, holding that huge boat so that it doesn't go adrift. And in many ways, our faith is the same. That we know we're being held and motivated by the faithfulness of God. And that is why our faith, which is motivated by love, will not give up. And it is a love which means forgiveness. It's a love which means mercy and grace. And as we read back in Habakkuk, it says, behold, the proud, His soul is not upright in him. They don't know of this mercy, this grace, this love. And that is the problem with religion. People who are religious do not know the mercy, the grace, the forgiveness of God. Religion in many ways is critical, is pharisaical, is accusing. But when you are made right before God, when you receive the love and grace and mercy of God, you bow your head and you simply say, "Who am I? Who am I?" And that is why love always means forgiveness. And that is why the gospel is such a good news. Because it's about forgiveness. It's about mercy. It's about reconciliation, being brought back, made right with Almighty God. See, the ungodly don't know anything of that, sadly. And that's why I still think our faith, not motivated by love, can be such a hindrance. We can still be proud, we can still be haughty. But you see, the Bible shows us that the humble will hear. The humble knows what comes out of their mouth. You see, the humble listen. The humble know when they make a negative confession. The humble know when their confession doesn't line up with the word of God, or their actions have not been in love and grace and mercy. The humble know this, because your conscience is open before God. Your soul, your heart is tender before the presence of God, so you hear what God says. And the moment when you don't come up to the mark, you want to get it right. You want to get it under the blood of the Lamb. That is what we're talking about, having this sincere faith. Faith must be sincere. And you see, the proud, the upright, they can't even hear when they're challenged. This is why, sadly, we can have some who sit in the house of God, can't hear when the Holy Spirit is convicting or challenging, because it's always somebody else's fault. It's not their fault. And so they will look around. They will say to themselves, that preacher, I know what that preacher's referring to. That's my brother. He's got a problem in that area. Thank you, Lord. I will pray for him. I will intercede for him that he can hear. Doesn't it sound familiar? Maybe we've done it in the past. Little realizing that actually what the preacher or teacher is saying is applying, God is speaking to you. That is why we always say that the humble will say, "Start with me, Lord. Me first, Lord. Me first. Here am I. Use me." That should always be our attitude and heart when we come together in fellowship, when we come under the word of God. Whatever our situation, "Here am I. Use me. Yes, Lord, I'm listening." You see, they can't hear even when they're challenged, and that is the tragedy. And we know that God has shown us that the proud, he repels, he actually has to push away. And that's why faith for believing isn't sincere. And if it isn't sincere, then it's not redemptive. We know it's not redemptive because it's not appealing to Calvary, to the cross. The humble, the meek, the sincere, they are always appealing to Calvary, to the cross. And that is what it does. And our faith, a faith that is sincere, will always appeal to Calvary, to the cross. And that is why our Heavenly Father will answer our prayers. And that is why we can have the confidence to ask of Him where those needs are, and to know that He has answered those prayers, because those prayers appeal to the cross. They appeal to Calvary. That is why our whole life must appeal to the cross. Our life is the cross. That is the good news of the gospel, and the humble hear it. And that is what our faith is motivated by. But the proud cannot hear that. And that is the tragedy. You see, when that pride is there, we're not aware of this, but in our hearts, in our attitudes, we cast that first stone, which we know the story of the woman caught in adultery, where He exposed those religious people who were going to stone her. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. We do it blindly. But the humble, the sincere of faith, will have such a godly fear about casting those stones, those lies, those accusations, those judgmental thoughts and attitudes. This is why faith isn't working at times like it is. We need to be so close to our Lord, so open, so sincere, so one with Him, that whenever these things try to start, and we don't have to try and work up pride, it seems to be naturally there. But we need to deal with it. And we'll always be able to deal with all of this because it appeals to Calvary, to the blood of the Lamb, to the cross. That is why that is the central theme. It is the walk. It is everything. And that is what the Apostle Paul said. That is the only thing I boast in. So if you want to be proud, you want to be boastful, then you are at liberty to be with regard to the cross, to Calvary, in your life. That is the only thing. And brothers and sisters, when we learn this one, and we're on our way. God's not brought us thus far. He's not brought us all this way. He's not speaking to us this morning unless He sees we can do this to glorify His name. Else He would not be giving us teaching like this. He wouldn't dare give teaching like this to us. So let's take heart. Yes, our names and addresses have been on this teaching this morning. Mine certainly has. I've missed it this week. I really have with regard to this. But thank God He shows you, and you can appeal to Calvary, to the blood of the Lamb. I thank my God for that. Because if it doesn't appeal to that, I am held in my pride, my blindness, my religious mindset. You have to go through some of these things. Yes, even preachers who miss it, in order to experience what you're talking about. Because faith must be sincere. It must be honest. No hypocrisy. It's got to be genuine. Integrity. That is what faithfulness is. And your faithfulness that you have is because God is faithful over you. Amen. Father, again, we thank you. We love you. You never give up on us. Lord, you show us, Father, what hinders, what stops our faith. And Lord, we know that we are at times going to grapple with pride, and it can just raise its ugly head in many ways and forms. But Lord, we want to know when it's trying to manifest. We want to know if there's still those deep roots of pride that's hindering, that's stopping. Father, we want to know. We don't want to walk in blindness. We walk in the light as you are the light. And that light reveals, it shows, Father. And so I thank you, Lord, for this. I thank you that you brought us today into the room because you love us. You've set it in our hearts. You've put that appetite there for your presence, for your ways, to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, as you continue to cut those strings of unbelief that still manipulate, that control us, as you're cutting away, we're finding, Lord, that we're actually being set free. Because you said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed.
Hand of God, that He